Can feel the presence growing as you're carrying your presence in. You feel the energy. So come on in if you're in the hallway, and those coming in, quickly move into the sanctuary. Want to get started? And we get started by just honoring the presence of the Lord and sharing the scripture. And I'm going to try not to preach a scripture I share. It's kind of strange, but I woke up this morning and heard really early, as I commonly do in that fourth watch of the night between 3 and 6, and I heard a scripture out of Jude, and so I want to share that because it's very important, and we're pressing in this time. You may be seated just for a minute, and it's very important that we understand the times we're in. And Apostle Pete Dresser with the pastors has been preaching out of a scripture in Jude. And if I were to ask how many have read the book of Jude lately, I would say probably none of you. Chase has read the whole Bible though, recently. But there's several things in Jude that's very interesting. And the interesting about Jude, it's only one chapter, so I could read the whole thing, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. But in the season that we're in, and we know that it's critical that we get in the right place these next 90 days, and now it's down to 60-some days until Labor Day, and things are changing. If you're watching world events right now, things are changing rapidly. Nations are right now on edge. They're changing. There's all kinds of things, but we got a word, and it's been confirmed through the pastors that I fellowship with, that it's critical how we align ourselves these next 90 days. Take a vacation, get refreshed, but don't take a vacation from the Word and the Spirit. We need to be built up. We need to be expanded in our inner man so that we have a spirit of discernment for the season that we're going into. And so in Jude, you can just read the whole chapter. It's one chapter, so I'm not going to read it, but I want to highlight a couple things. Apostle Pete said in verse 3, he talks about, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. It's a time that we're contending for the faith. The war that's going on is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, but it's a war of faith. It says, fight the good fight of faith. And so you've laid hold of faith for your salvation, but you got to contend for that faith. You got to stay in it. You got to persevere to see the breakthrough. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that faith doesn't come just because we pray for it. It comes from the Word of God and hiding the Word in our heart and the Spirit. But then Jude said this, and this is the verse I got. It says in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. The faith that you have put on the inside through the Word of God, you can build that faith up. You can stir that faith up. And it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're stirring up the faith. And we know two miraculous things happen. The most miraculous thing is getting born again. When you receive Jesus, everybody's looking for a miracle. Being born again is a primary miracle that you're going to receive. It gives you the entrance into the kingdom of God. But the second miracle that reminds you that greater is He that's in us and the Holy Spirit's in us is Holy Spirit. So when you get baptized with Holy Spirit, that's miraculous. When we pray in tongues, it reminds us of the miraculous on the inside of us. It's the only contact we have with the Spirit, because we can't see Holy Spirit, but He's on the inside of us. But when we pray in the Spirit, we're not praying with our mind or our understanding, we're praying with our spirit. So it's Holy Spirit who's now in our spirit, having dialogue with our spirit man. And when we pray in the Spirit, it stirs up our most holy faith. So we don't pray in the Spirit just because we got baptized with the Holy Spirit once. No, it's a heavenly language. It's a language, one scripture in 1 Corinthians says, of angels and of heaven. And so if you want to be reminded of the miraculous and miracles, the greatest miracle is being born again. But if you're born again, the greatest miracle is contending for the faith, staying in the faith. And when we pray in the Spirit, we're building up our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So praying in the Holy Ghost is not a one-time thing. It's not something that we just do because it feels good and makes us feel good. We do it because it's fellowship, communion with God. He's put Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and he's going to teach us all things and even reveal things to come. You want to know what's coming? We should be the first ones to know what's coming. Not the church shouldn't be the last ones. We shouldn't be on the defense. We should be on the offense. And so when we start our service and we say just we're presenting our bodies unto him, we're reminding that he's in us. And when we pray in the Spirit, and Sunday mornings is a believer service. And so if you're not born again, you get born again. You can experience the miracle of Jesus in your heart and life. It will change you. Old things pass away. All things begin to come new on the inside of you. And so then you're a candidate to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we start the service, and you can feel the atmosphere change when we pray in the Spirit. But you should be able to feel it changing something on the inside of you. It recalibrates your inner man, your innermost being, because it ought to be a work from the inside out. It's an inside out deal. He's changing you inside before he changes you on the outside. People want to get changed on the outside, but it doesn't work that way. He works inside out. So it's inside out deal. So when we present our bodies and we're not just going to worship to sing nice songs, we don't do that. We're honoring God. We're coming into his presence and reminding us that we're seated with him in heavenly places. And when we're worshiping together corporately, we're bringing heaven's already coming in earth through us. Eternal life is in us. So we're not waiting for eternal life. It's in you. And heaven's in you, because God's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let's stand, present our bodies to him this morning. And as we do, we begin to worship. So Father, lift your hands and say, Father.
Father.
Let's say it together. Say, Father.
Father.
I present my body.
I present my body.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable.
Holy and acceptable.
Unto you this morning.
Unto you.
I thank you, Jesus,
that I'm born again.
You're my Lord and Savior.
And I thank you
that you sent Holy Spirit. So baptize me with a fresh anointing this morning. Baptize me with Holy Spirit and fire. I stir up my most holy faith as I begin to pray in the Spirit. So let's begin to pray. Ha rabo soto rababa ha ha. Oh, shanda ra 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 ba shata ra ba ka. Ro soto to ramba ba ba ra ha ha ha. Oh, shoto ramba ba bre ke de de he he. Ro soto ro to to ramba ba de de he he. Oh, sa de de ra ba ra ra ba ha ha. Ro soto ramba ba ba ka ra 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 ha. Zo. Soto robo ho shanda ra 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 ha. Ro soto robo shore re re kire he. Ro soto ra ba ba brande re. Zando ro ho 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 ziri ri ma ha. Zando ro ro ro. Oh, we press in. We press into you, Holy Spirit. Oh, shada ra ra ra. We stir up our most holy faith as we connect with heaven. Oh, connect with you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Karabaha. Oh, we thank you. These bodies are temples of Holy Spirit. In you we live, move, and have our being. So we fan the fire. We stir up our most holy faith. Akisada. Oh, Shandaradaraha. Rosonda Robavarandaraha. So Sararara Kide. Rosonda Rede de Moho. So.
Cause he called my name and he stole my shame. breath. Let the weight of this world go. Gonna be no tears, gonna be no pain. When I see that smile on my Savior's face, I won't be walking, I'll be running. fix our eyes on you. 'Cause I know breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and he won't stop now. My God made me a promise. My God made me a promise. My God made me a promise and he won't stop now. Oh. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Thank you. glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. The praise, worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise, worthy is your Jesus.
witnesses to Yahweh that a fresh moving of my wind is blowing throughout the earth, throughout my sons and daughters. And I have longed to see my wind flow through you, and many will begin to run with what I'm doing in them, through them, to magnify my name and impact the lives of the men, women, and children around them. For they're waiting for the impact that I have for them through you. The spectators will be mightily moved by my spirit as they hear my voice and obey me. Those who are just standbyers and watchers will long to be used by that. But I'm not a God of respect of persons, but I will flow with those who will flow with me. And I've given you all the equipment that you need to flow with me. What more do you need, my sons and daughters? I have given you, I have not held nothing back from you. And this is the hour, and this is the season, and all that I have deposited within you, I am longing to see manifested. For all, now all creation, waiting for that to be manifested in you, through you. This is the hour. But it's your turn to give yourself to me like you've never given yourself to me before. No more can you just stand by and watch. No, no, my sons and daughters, you must become participants in what I'm doing. My water flows freshly through those who participate. My wind flows only freshly through those who participate with me. No, you can't do it. Don't listen to the lies and the fears of the enemy. You can do it.
Jesus, your name is above the clouds. Your name is above us. Your name is above the heavens, and your name will always be up there forever and ever until the end of the world. There will be nothing between us. Your name will be lifted high and being praised all day long.
Yeah. Let's give him praise. Praise the name of Jesus, name above all names. We exalt that name, the name of Jesus. We give him glory and praise and blessing and power in the name, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus. Oh. for these moments where I'm still in your presence, where all the noise dies down. Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. Can't miss a thing. Lord, all I know, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. All I know, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. All I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven. Oh, 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 oh. You're the fire in the morning, you're the cool in the evening, the breath in my soul, the life in my bones. There is no hesitation in your love and affection. It's the sweetest of all. Oh, all I know, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. Oh Lord, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. All I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch from heaven. Just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? All I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? All I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one, Lord? All I want is just to know your heart, and would you keep me here until we're one? I just want you. I just want you, Lord, nothing else will do. just want you. Oh, help me know the oneness of us, the oneness of us, the oneness of us. Me and you, you and me, 'cause all I want is just to know your heart and would you keep me here until we're one. Just to know your heart, Lord, keep me here until we're one. I just want more of a revelation, Lord, of who you are, who you are. I just want more of you. To know your heart, keep me here until we're one.
Put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit's speaking to us right now. And it's not coming from outside. It's coming from your spirit man. And his spirit on the inside. And he's speaking. Even as you cried out and say, I want more of you. He's speaking to you right now. And he's giving you an ear to hear. So let Holy Spirit speak. He's even answering the cries of your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows the challenges, but he reminds you that they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and will not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. So, Father, we thank you that we lock our faith, Father, the wings of faith, and we soar above the circumstances. We see what we can't see from our natural position, and we see from your perspective, and we thank you that we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within us, we thank you for the rest. This is the rest of faith that you said that, Father, your believers would walk in. This is the peace of God that passes all understanding. This is heaven invading earth. God in us, the hope of glory, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lift your hands and thank him. As you begin to thank him, listen. Because he's speaking. He's giving you solutions. He's giving you an answer to the cries of your heart. For this is a season of open heaven. And the angels are truly ascending and descending. They're ascending with the cries of our heart and descending with signs and wonders and miracles. And we thank you, Father. We receive in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Yeah. Good job, worship team. Let's thank the worship team. Hallelujah. Good job. I'm glad we're not, you can be seated. I'm glad we're not a place where they have to take us from the parking lot to the throne room in 40 minutes. We start in the throne room and keep going from glory to glory. And isn't that good? We want to share a testimony on the goodness of God. And if you're standing for a miracle, we just want to tell you that a report, and many have been praying with us for Tanya's family, but for Samuel. Samuel was born with cystic fibrosis, gone through horrendous things in his lifetime. He's now 17, be 18 this year. He went in for a procedure. He hasn't been in the hospital for 3 years, which has been a miracle. And alone, but he went in the hospital to have a procedure done. He had a blood clot on the left side that's been there a while, and it restricts his oxygen. He hasn't had oxygen above, what, 50%? It's higher. But anyhow, it's really low. And he had the procedure done, and his liver has been deteriorating and turning yellow, which is causing some other effects in his body that he has to go in and get procedure because it causes his veins to develop in his esophagus. And so a few years ago, he had to go in every quarter, and they would tie off some of those veins and strangle them, but it was because the liver wasn't functioning. And in the last 2 years, he's gone in, and they're not growing. And so we praise God for that. But this one, they said that it's like he's got a new liver. It's almost like it's a new liver. They went in and saw it. Not only does he have a new liver, but he went through the procedure, and without being on oxygen, his oxygen was 100%. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So you may be standing a long time, 17 years, but we're seeing breakthroughs and miracles and testimonies. And so we give God all the praise. He's a good God. So no matter how long you've been standing, contend for your faith right now. Because it's a time of miracles, and sin answers the prayer. And so if you've been standing, keep standing. If you got weary in standing, get back in faith and stand. It's a season of miracles. So we give them all the glory and the praise. Before we dismiss the children this morning, I was going to ask a question. We have 48 flags in the sanctuary. We have another 20 that we just can't put up because we don't have space. But I changed the flag, and I was going to ask the question, how many know we got a new flag in the sanctuary? But that would take a long time because to go through 48, most of you don't even know we have flags up there. And if there's a flag up there, you don't know that there's a name on top of the flag, which is a nation. So there's 48 nations that join us in worship every week. And so we changed one. And we changed one this week. It happens to be the second one in next to Spain. And I thought, we're in trouble. My brother's here, and he's just come out of Myanmar. And I thought, we don't have Myanmar up. And I thought, okay, I better go look. And it was in a box in my Fiver McGee closet in my office, and pulled it out and came in and put it up. I said, I got to get that up. And so fortunately, the name stayed up because I don't know how. And they changed the flag. That was Burma's flag, probably.
Yeah.
That was probably Burma's. So the military's changed the flag, but we got the one up there that's freedom and speaking that. So that's a new flag. But we're a church of nations. And we started off when we came, and in 1950, before we came, I was born in 1950, but in 1950, the church voted to give 10% of all their income to everything that came in to missions. That was 1950. When I came in 1979, they asked, well, what do you want as a pastor? I said, only one thing, that we continue, that I didn't know that was in fact. I says that we give 10% of our income to missions. And we've done that every year since we've been here, investing into nations. So many of those nations we've invested into. And so we're a people of nations, but we send people to nations too, and not just people to visit and do missionary work, but all of our missionaries that we support on a monthly basis are full-time missions. They live there. In other words, They come in and out maybe, but they live there. Are you ready, Chase, to be dismissed? Stretch your hands toward the children's ministry and the children. Father, we thank you right now that you're raising up a new generation even right now. And Father's a generation, there's no junior Holy Spirit. So we thank you that, Father, they don't have baggage to clean out. They don't have things to surrender. But in this innocence, we declare the Word of God is going in them in full force right now. And we thank you not only is the Word, but we thank you the Spirit of God is filling them even at a young age. And we thank you that, Father, you're preparing this next generation to take the baton and to break through the glass ceilings that, Father, our generations were not able to break through in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for every worker, for Chase right now, those that are coming alongside her, that are joining her right now. Thank you that you're forming a team right now, Father, that brings different talents, different giftings, different anointings. And we thank you together, Father, they'll infuse and equip this next generation to go back into the harvest field, into their schools, Father, in the marketplace, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, before Lauren, we got the newlyweds back. And you know, I think they're smiling a little bigger than they were when they left. So that's a good sign. So they're still on the honeymoon, but I encourage them that the honeymoon lasts as long as you want it to last. So we're still on our honeymoon, so we imparted that to them. So thank you. Good seeing you. And we'll be praying for them as they make their transition, you know, to the new place. And we'll keep you informed and pray for them. So you may be dismissed if you're... Well, it's a real privilege this morning for me, and just let me say, those watching online and also you here, that you can give online. You can also give with the envelopes, and we're not going to pass the plates, but there's boxes in the foyer. There's one right out the door and one on the wall. But this morning, in your giving, we want you to consider what we'd like to do is invest. We like to invest in nations, and if you haven't seen the nations that we invest in, you can read that Harvester, they're on the back. These are our monthly support, as well as others that we periodically do. But one of our longest support has been my brother Roger and his wife Mary, and they were in England for 25 years in Liverpool. So if you go to England, you don't usually end up in Liverpool for 25 years. Most people go to England are in London, but they were in Liverpool, and from there that became their base. And but this morning in your offering, anything and other, we'd like to invest into Roger's ministry. He just came out of Myanmar. He's been there twice this year. He's going back in October. Myanmar, let me say really quickly, I went one trip with him. It's the hardest nation I've ever been in. The most dark, the most closed. The government is just radical to keep Christianity out. I remember one billboard that we saw that was at least a block long. It was huge. And in English, it said, "Report the Stooges." The Stooges was anyone that said anything contrary to the government, the military. You reported them. And so when you go in there as a missionary, you have to be very careful because they have informants. And I remember Roger and I took a plane up to the upper part of Myanmar, and it's the triangle where the poppy seeds are grown. Most of the heroin comes out from that area. It's next to Thailand and China and Myanmar. We flew in there, and Roger said, there's only about six or eight of us on the plane, and he says, "Let's see who the informant is. Let's play this game." And I said, "I spy." He says, "Let's play I spy. Who's the informant?" And I said, I didn't know what he's talking about. So I turned over to say something, and this guy's head was between our shoulders. I says, "I think I know who the informant is." and they listen to everything that anybody from the outside, they have an informant assigned, or they know where you're at. And so we're investing. We like to send Roger back there. He's going to share some of the things. But we've been investing, and because of that, It's opened up doors, and we believe Myanmar is ripe for revival and an outpouring of spirit. So anything that you give in other this morning outside of your tithe offering, we'll put that in offering toward investing not only in Myanmar. Let me say this too. I know Monday and Maureen last week, we sent them to Florida, not back to Nigeria. If you were here, it was kind of funny. But they're in Florida. They're here. But Nigerians, raise your hands right now. We have some Nigerians. That was one of the first nations Roger went into when he went on the mission field, and he might mention that. So you're a result of us sowing into Nigeria through Roger. 40 years ago or something like that. So just a blessing. I've shared in the past, you've heard me share, that Roger in the Jesus Revolution got saved dramatically, transformed, delivered from drugs, alcohol, just you name it. He got delivered from it and came back and shared Jesus with us and took us to the same evangelist that was preaching downtown Detroit on Woodward Avenue, and we received Christ then through a prophetic word that the evangelist had. So Roger's been an important part. He's now, I'm marrying him, now live in North Carolina, and but they go to England all the time. They have a daughter in England, 3 grandchildren there, so they're there all the time with the grandchildren ministering. And let's just stand and welcome Roger as he comes to minister the Word of God.
Thank you. Hallelujah. We're going to... thank you, brother. Well, you may be seated. Your pastor is my older brother, but I'm the bigger brother. He used to be my big brother and older brother, but I passed him on being the bigger. Now it's so good to be here, and from those in Nigeria, I know how to properly eat gari. I know how, and I love suya. Yep, and when I was in Lagos, I knew where the best suya was at. So they said, "What do you want for lunch?" I said, "I want suya, and get it from this corner, not from that corner." So you know. You know, when you travel like that, you got to have the grace to eat what they serve you. You know, the Bible says, you know, we've all been given ministry by the grace of God. You know, and we could teach on that. And I want to say something real quick here. We did not talk about anything what I was going to share today. And I mean, some of the prophetic words that came forward, I was sitting there thinking, I was just sitting there going, is it from the inside out? From the inside out. You know, don't look on the outside, look on the inside. And then you're going to hear some things that, you know, what I'm going to share with you and stuff. So we didn't plan this at all. It's the Holy Ghost, okay? But we do thank you. We've been working in Myanmar since 1987. We first came in contact with them in 1985 while doing a big tent meeting in North East India. And these people came for 14 days, traveled, just to get in a tent meeting. And when I say travel, they rode buses, walked, snuck into India just to sit in the meetings. You know, we'd sometimes find it hard to get across town. You know, and so we've been working there ever since. And we're going to throw up with just 6 pictures, that's all. We're not going to bore you with pictures and stuff, to let you have a little bit of an idea of what we're doing. We train nationals. And because of that, even though at times when the country closes down, they won't let me in, the work goes on. And daily, I'm getting reports from our workers there of people being water baptized, and that's a big thing in Myanmar. To be water baptized, you are making an outward confession of your faith in Jesus Christ. And that separates you from many of your family members. Buddhism is the state religion there in Myanmar. And so the first picture we're going to have up here, are we ready there, brother? Okay. This is we have a Bible school there. It is a residential Bible school. It's a 4-year program. They do get degrees out of it. They can go on and get their bachelor's, master's, doctorate degree through it. We train them that way, and they live there. We have 2 houses that we own. One of them is the ladies' dorm, and then one is the church, and the lower floor is the men's dorms in it. And they come and they're there for 9 months for 4 years. And this year we got 60 students in it, which is really a blessing. And of those students, many of them go out and do other work for us. From that, those students, we have workers here now that are running our children's home. We have a children's home we told you about before. It's still going on. We have approximately 30 to 37 children in it. Some of the children can't get back into Yangon since the coup took place, and so they're living up in the area. But this is a picture of our children, if you the next one, with their new school uniforms. You know, every year, you know, just like your children, they grow. And so every year we have to get them new school uniforms so they can go back to school and look good. And we provide them with not only the education, but recently we had to buy them a generator, a new generator, a new battery pack, a new converter, because the military government, if you don't see it in the news, but there's been a coup there 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and they squashed the democracy that was going forward. There's villages being burned by the government on a regular basis. And look, some of the pictures look like the days of Vietnam when, you know, the bamboo houses being just destroyed. They're vicious, restricted. I can't go in some of the places I used to be able to go. It's even more restrictive than it used to be. But they turn off the electricity. So the children, in order to have their education, we had to buy them new generators and stuff so that they could still study, because the government turns off the electricity, and sometimes they only get it for a couple hours a day. And so, you know, so this is the children there. And then last, I was there in November, I said, what do you guys want? Because, you know, every year, as you know, we do a thing where we give the children Christmas gifts. And the way we do it is, we can't send them in from here. You know, I got people say, oh, I would love to send you like the shoebox type of thing. We can't do it. The government would take it all. So what we do is we send them money. And we say, now we got X amount of money. And so each child, say, will get $30 this year. Let them go to the market, take them to the market, and let them buy their own outfits. And we have found that very successful, because most of them are becoming teenagers or young teenagers. And how many of you remember when you were a teenager, if you can remember back that far? How many, you remember the clothes your grandma bought you? And you smile and go, thank you. And hope that you, and mama would say, you got to wear it. You're going to see grandma today. And you go, do I have to? You know what I'm talking about, you know. Bless, you know. So we found that let them buy their own stuff, and they love it. So this time I asked them, what else would you like for Christmas? They go, we've never seen the ocean. Now, they don't live far from the ocean. And our director said, the children's home said, there's a house there that we can hire for a couple of days. We can hire a bus, and it's like a bed and breakfast. And we'd like to take them there for Christmas. So this year we sent them the funds for it, and they went there and had a Christmas. And the next one is of them at, having a banquet at during Christmas time on the beach of their Myanmar. And so, you know, now when I go there, they'll sit there and ask me questions. Before, you know, they never would. But some of these children now from the original ones are grown. They have their own families. They're working jobs, and when they get paid, they come back to the home and provide meat for the children there. Because it's an average of maybe meat one time a week. They're mainly rice and vegetables. And so they'll come and get paid and say, we'll bring some meat, because they all appreciate where they come from. And so on top of those things, we have workers out there planting churches. The next one is a couple that planted a church south of Myanmar. And I was just there. This is their church that we have helped them build. When they planted this church, there was no Christians in that village. They went and they said, we want to go and plant a church where there's no Christians. So they were up in Mandalay area. Mandalay has some old churches and some good, you know, some churches there from the old British days and what have you. But they said, we don't want to build a church there. There's already churches here. So they went 45 minutes south of Mandalay, found an area where there's no churches, no Christian, and they moved into it. Today they have this church, and these are the believers here that come to the church, and they're also, and this is the building that we have helped them build. We don't build it. They helped them build it. And to me, that's fabulous, you know. When I say we help them, we'll send them an extra $200 every now and, you know, about every month. They didn't build that on my $200, I'll guarantee you. The people in the church are giving. And that's one of the things we want them to do. They have to take ownership of it. If I build them the church, you build them the church, they have no ownership. We've tried that before. And when it needs painting, they call you and say, your building needs painting. No, it's your church. You have to take ownership of it. So we have workers, I think, in about 19 different ones on a regular basis we support all over the Golden Triangle area, all over the country, planting churches. And as I said, we get reports on a regular basis. And I go back, and when I go there, they come in to sit in the meetings. And some of our graduates are my interpreters now also. And so we're now in the process of building them on parsonage to right next to the building so that they don't have to pay rent anymore and they use that money for, you know, the reaching the gospel. And they go into villages. Go ahead. So I think it's the last one, if I remember right. He goes into villages and presents the gospel on a regular basis, you know. And from that, you know, we will hand out Bibles. Well, during the pandemic, that we were feeding people. And so even though I'm not there all the time because I can't be there all the time, the work is going on because we've, as you have done here, you impart it into those people, teach them how to go forward. Now, just recently, they've had another cyclone hit Myanmar. And it hit the area of Rakhine State, which is where, if you didn't follow any of the news, it's where the Muslims were at that have been in Myanmar for 30 years, illegally in Myanmar for 30 years, and the military started attacking them, and there's been a lot of public news on that. Well, the cyclone hit there. We have a church there. One of our workers there has started a church. We're in the process of helping him build a building. I just got a picture about six new believers being water baptized. Well, a cyclone came through, and there's another church that is associated with us, and it destroyed about 20 of their homes. And so I get a letter from my director saying, we'd like to help them rebuild their homes. And it gives me the amount, and it's in Chet's, which is Burmese money, 1 million something, you know, 100,000, you know. And I'm just thinking, oh, you know, Lord, I just don't need another demand. And then I sat down and started figuring out, converting that to dollars. Okay, I said, let's figure out how much this is. And it came out to about $37 per house. Came out to $770 or something. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Lord, I just spent $800 on motorcycle insurance for a year. How can we not take care of that? You know? So we did that just in the last couple months, took care of that. And they gave every family there, and some were, you know, they're bamboo houses, so, you know, they have to buy the new panels and what have you. And so, you know, it's an ongoing work there, and we'll be back there again. I haven't been home hardly at all since in the last 9 months. You know, if my shadow comes by in a few days, just send it on, you know. Mary and I, we've been married 48 years this coming Wednesday, and we laugh. We said, well, actually, Mary says, we've only been married 24 because you're gone the other half. You know, but no, but we appreciate that's just a little bit of what we're involved with. You know, we have been in 50 countries of the world, and we've done a lot of work in Nigeria over the time past. I've been there during a coup there also, and I'll guarantee you, when you have a coup in Nigeria, when you're me, you don't blend in. You know, you can't go outside because they know you're not from there. You know, so it's an interesting thing. Amen. Well, I want to share the Word of God with you real quickly, because we're running out of time. That's more important than what I'm doing, is the Word of God. I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture just to launch off of. You all know, we've all confessed it, Jeremiah 29:11. Now, I'm going to challenge maybe some of you today, and I'm not going to say anything you haven't heard. So if you're looking for something new, I'm sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. You might have forgotten what I'm telling you because you've heard it so long ago. Or maybe you just weren't paying attention when you heard it before, so you think it's new. Okay? But I was reading this the other day, and let's just read it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? Now, I don't know how you think, but I start thinking, you know, sometimes I have some people call me and they say, I've been thinking about you. Oh, that's nice, but I need more than you just thinking about me. Hello? You know, maybe you have a need. And somebody says, oh, I was thinking about you. And you're thinking, and? Does that make sense to you? God says, I know the thoughts. I said, God, I thank you for those thoughts. I don't just need your thoughts. How do I make that a reality in my life? Do you ever think that way? That's nice thoughts, Lord, but I don't need your thoughts right now. I need it to become reality in my life. Because the day we're living in, I need all the help we can get. Yes. Amen. And it's not enough just to believe in God. The James says the devils believe in God. And they tremble. We're living a day that it's not enough just to believe in God. We're going to have to believe God. I want to read you just a paragraph from a Christian publication, okay? And it says, the rapid approaching of the end of age we're witnessing is a tremendous increase in the activity of powers of darkness. Unrest among the nations, more intense than any previous time in earth history, so due largely to the stirring up of the ambitions and passions of men, while the spread of almost a wholly secularized education is quietly doing away with the scriptural standards which formerly exerted a restraining influence among so many called Christians. Our wealth and our social culture has not made us thankful to the giver of all good, but we have centered us upon the material things of the world and have produced a self-sufficiency that quite ignores our dependency upon the creator of all. Now, you ready for this? That was written in 1932. That could have been written yesterday. Amen? That was written in 1932, and that was after the Great Depression. The Great Depression had just ended, and they were writing that. So, folks, this warfare has been going on since the beginning of time. It is increasing because he sees his release coming to an end, so he is increasing. But I often think that, you know, I was blessed in America. I was born 1951. I'm 22 years old Celsius. Figure it out. But in that time, for me, Christianity was normal here. We never saw the church being attacked. You know, there was respect for the Bible. There's respect for ministers. Even when I worked in the outlaw motorcycle community, they would respect the ministers. You know, even the mafia respected ministers. You know, you didn't touch them. We don't see that today. So it is increasing. Amen. And so how are we going to survive in this day and age? Pastor said something this morning, and it's right where I want to go. We're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God in this day and age.
Yes, amen.
It's the only way that we're going to survive in this day and age. We're needing to be led by the Spirit of God. And he said, and the Spirit of God is in you.
Yes.
Do not look at the outward, but look at the inward.
Yes.
Now turn with me to a very famous psalm that we normally don't read unless it's a funeral. Psalms 23. Most of the time we don't read that one unless it's at a funeral, right? It starts off, says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Amen? What does it say next? I shall not want. It's still true today. I can remember 1975 that they're saying, if gas prices go up to $5 a gallon, God still can provide. That was 1975. I think some of the Christians forgot that. That God can still provide. In fact, in 1975, it was 30-some cents a gallon average. But that equivalent to the cost of living at the time to about $2.79. I looked that up. I'm not that smart. I looked that up, you know. Inflation would bring it to 279 today. But the point is, if we say the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. God's not dependent upon this world system. Brother Osteen, I love Brother Osteen when he was alive, John, the father of Joel. When he was around, he said, God still knows how to make manna. He still got the ovens stored away up there somewhere. He hasn't gotten rid of them. God still knows how to do things. So I shall not want. Then it goes on. Now, Follow me here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That speaks of plenty, does it not? Now, notice the next one. He leads me. He leads me beside still waters. Is he leading you? If he's leading you, he's going to lead you to still waters. You know, Jesus came not so that I could be a failure. I was doing fine without any help. You know, the very fact he came to the cross means he's got something better for me. Amen. Now, we have all failed in life. But it wasn't because we were following the Lord. We cannot blame that on the Lord. Because he leads us to the green pastures. He leads us to the still waters. He restores our souls. He leads me, verse 3, the rest of it, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. If you go to Isaiah, it says, the effects of righteousness is peace, quietness, and assurance. Is God leading you? If he's leading you, he leads you into the paths of righteousness, which is quietness, peace, and assurance. I sometimes wonder what some Christians are following today. Uh-oh. He leads me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You know, you may go through things. But you know why we fear no evil? Because I'm following him. If I'm following him, I fear no evil. If you're not following him, that's another story. But if you're following him, you'll fear no evil. You are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because I'm following him. When I'm following him, he'll prepare a table for me, even in the midst of my enemies. Because I'm following him. Yes. Folks, the days we're living in is so key that we're following him. Yes. Now, I know you all know this, because you've heard this over the years, but we need to fine-tune it and get even more sensitive to that voice of that inner man, that witness on the inside of it. Become very, very sensitive, because it's going to be key to whether you're in victory or not. Okay? Let's go on here. I like this last part. I got to say this. My brothers heard me say this before. Surely in goodness, oh, it says my cup will run over. Why? Because I'm following him. He has anointed me. Why? Because I'm following him. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When I was young, I just thought that was two people. Who's surely and who's goodness? You know, sure, don't call me surely, you know. Who's following me? They're following me. As goodness is following you. Why? Because I'm following him. See, the key to that whole scripture is he is our shepherd and we follow him. Do you ever notice shepherds lead, they don't drive? You ever watch goat herders? They drive the goats. Shepherds just lead. What, they're going to lead you to green pasture? They're going to lead you to still water? They're going to provide for them? They're going to watch over them, protect them? He is our shepherd and he's wanting to lead you into the good thing. Because he knows the thoughts he has, he knows where he wants to get you to. I'm sure that grieves would say, I'm really trying to get you to that place I'm thinking about, but you won't follow me. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, folks, Jesus said in Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock, for it's the Father's good happiness to give you the kingdom. That's the New Living Translation. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is not stingy. He wants us to have those thoughts that he has for us. Okay? Now, Jesus came and he said, follow me. I like that Roger's translation says, and I'll make something of you. You know, it doesn't matter where you start. We all start in different places. But if we'll follow him, he'll make something of us. He'll take us from defeat to victory. But now, have you ever read that and thinking, that's kind of strange. somebody walks by and says, follow me, you're just going to leave your occupation and jump up and follow them? See, there's a lot in that, in the Jewish tradition, that we don't know. Because I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. Okay? But I read a little bit about it, and studied a little bit about it. And all young Jewish boys, men, wanted to be rabbis. Today, they all want to be rock stars or rap stars or something, you know. They all wanted to be rabbis. And so, but to be a rabbi, you had to learn the whole book of Leviticus, I believe, by the time they're six. I mean, I don't even like reading the book of Leviticus, you know. When I read through the Bible over here, the book of Leviticus, you think, oh, dear God, get me through this. You know, you know it's that way, isn't it? Then you get to Numbers, and he begot so-and-so, and there was something done. I like Genesis, man. There's stories in Genesis. I'm an action man, you know. By the time they're 12, they had to memorize the whole five books of the Bible, the Torah. That, if they didn't do it, they were disqualified from ever being a rabbi. Now remember, Paul says, you were disqualified. Interesting thoughts, isn't it? So once they're disqualified, they had to go about the family business. Now, there were some other steps, I guess, that went until you were 30. And there's different levels of rabbis. There's a normal rabbi, and then there's a rabbi of authority. Remember, they said, Jesus, you speak with authority. He was a rabbi of authority. But in order to become a rabbi of authority, you had to have at least two witnesses. John the Baptist, at his baptism, and the Father spoke from heaven. Two witnesses to him. So there's a lot in this, okay? So when he's coming here, they knew that he was a rabbi. And he turns to these men that have been disqualified and said, follow me. He's given them a second chance. So they understood what was going on. They're getting a second chance, you know, because that's what they always wanted, okay? Now, we don't have time to go on. I'm just getting into this. I'm scratching into that myself. Okay, but he says, follow me. Follow me. John chapter 10, turn to me with me on that one. I better keep a time, watch on the time, you know. What we lack in depth, we make up in length. No, I'm only kidding. John chapter 10, verse 4. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Are you a sheep? Are you his? You know his voice. You know his voice. Then it goes on, verse 5, and it says, Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You know, you need to remind yourself, I know the voice of my good shepherd. In fact, have you ever had something happen? Don't raise your hand. Something happened, and you got yourself in a mess, and you said, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew it. God was trying to tell me, right? Anybody ever been there? We all have done it. See, we didn't get in a mess because we're following Jesus. We get in a mess because we didn't follow him. He'll take us through it if we'll follow him. The problem is we have to become so sensitive to his voice. Because there's many voices in the world. James talks about that. There's many voices in the world right now. But we know his voice. You know, my brother and I played sports. My dad was great. You know, we played sports. I played on cross country. I ran cross country and was on state championship teams. And, you know, all these people are cheering. But you know what? You never hear the cheers. You only hear your coach. You know, you go on that football field, all the fans cheering. Those players aren't hearing those fans. They're hearing their coach. What? They've trained to hear that voice. We think they're listening to us. Now, some of them, some people, we used to call it rabbit ears. They always got to hear what other people are saying. You know. And when we were playing ball, we found somebody with rabbit ears. We'd just ride them the whole game. Yeah, he's shaking his head. You know what I'm talking about. Talk trash to them all game. Rattling them up. But the Bible says we don't pay attention to stranger's voice. See, the thief comes in verse 10 to kill, to destroy, to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. So we're not going to listen to his voice. People sometimes say, well, the devil's been telling, what are you listening to him for? You know, have you had, no, don't raise your hand again. You said, Pastor, the devil's been telling me. Don't listen to him. Tell him to shut up in Jesus' name. You don't have to listen to the devil. You don't listen. If a liar's trying to tell you a story, you're going to believe him? You know he's a liar. Don't listen to him. But we got to become sensitive to his voice in the day we're living in. Romans chapter 8. You know this one. 8:14 and 16. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 16 says, and the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now those two phrases there are different levels of growth. Children and sons. They're different levels of growth in the Greek. But still, we need to become sensitive to that inward witness. That inward witness. Because he's wanting to lead us to that place of green pastures, still waters. He wants our cup to overflow. He wants us to be anointed. He wants to have the table prepared for us in the midst of our enemy. Now remember, the prophet was trying to find all that, and he's looking for thunder and fire and all that stuff, and God wasn't in it. He was in that still, small voice. Now I'm going to challenge you here. Too many people are living their life based on outward circumstances. They're being led by the outward conditions. God doesn't say as many as are led by the outward conditions are the sons of God. Where does God live? Inside. He's a spirit, you are a spirit. So if you're going to talk, have heart to heart, it's going to be spirit, heart to heart. Amen? So why are we looking out here to hear from God? Where's he going to speak to you? In your heart. Now, sometimes one of the benefits, and I pray in the Holy Ghost all the time, because my English is very poor. I speak one language fluently, Holy Ghost. You think I'm joking? It's true. But one of the things about praying in the Holy Ghost, it'll quiet your mind, and you'll start hearing what God is saying. Because God is speaking all the time. People say, oh, I'm just waiting for God to speak. He's never stopped. He's never stopped. Look at the book of Acts. The Spirit spoke. The Spirit spoke. Aren't you glad he spoke to Peter? Because we wouldn't be in the church if he hadn't spoke to Peter. Because it was a Jewish church only then. Maybe you're Jewish and you'd be here, but I wouldn't have been here. We can go all through the book of Acts. The Spirit spoke. The Spirit spoke. Now, I know it's not here, but you go to many churches and you say, God said, they're all going to look at you. God said? They give you that look like, God said, God spoke to you. But many Christians don't believe that God can speak to them. Some of them are praying, oh, God, just speak to me. He's saying, just listen, I'm speaking. If you get quiet, you'll hear me. See, so praying in the Holy Spirit gets your mind quiet because you're trying to figure it all out. I'm trying to figure it all out. But God says, I already got it figured out. You know, if you just follow me. Now, turn with me to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. I know we're going a bunch of scripture. I preached at my local church where I attend recently, and one of the ladies who had heard me preach before, she goes, I guess I better bring my Bible this next Sunday. Because, you know, a lot of places you go, they don't even bring their Bibles anymore. Whoops. Yeah, I know, but some people are going, no, I have it on my tablet, I have it on my phone, you know, I like it in paper. You know why? Because I know what part of the page that scripture's on. I can't remember where that scripture is, but I know it's in the right-hand corner on this side of the page, so I can thumb through them and find it. Can't do that in my iPad. It doesn't stay in the same spot. How's that for theology? Okay, verse 8. You find 32? Verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Then he goes, I will guide you with my eyes. In other words, I'll be directing you. I'm looking out for you. Now look what verse 9 says. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding and must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not a donkey. How do you lead a donkey? Get that switch. You ever seen them riding those donkeys? You ever seen the boys herding the cattle with the they're switching? God doesn't need to whack you to lead you. I'm not a donkey. He'll guide me. Why? Because he's given me his spirit on the inside of me. Think about that a minute. Too many Christians are donkeys. Well, God's teaching me. I had a car wreck. God's teaching me. No, you didn't have to have the car wreck if you were listening to God. Now, please, we don't know. We talked about this a little bit, but with no reference to what I was going to speak on. We don't know how God's kept us out of trouble by us following him. Only when we get to eternity will we really know. But I know two times for sure in my life where God told me, on the inward witness, not any outward sign, don't fly that airlines. One time I was getting ready to go to Calcutta, and I was going to fly through Pakistan and catch the connecting flight to go to Calcutta. And God said, don't fly that way. Okay. So I canceled that, and I looked up. I thought, oh, I can go to Bangladesh, through Dhaka, and get to Calcutta. That plane that I was going to be on was hijacked. Another time I was going to Nigeria, and I was flying there, and I was going to go through Malta. And God said, don't fly that. I said, okay. And now it's down here. Don't fly. That plane was hijacked. I'll tell you what, it's so much better not to get hijacked. Yeah, I could have got hijacked and turned around and said, well, God used me through all that. Yeah, but that wasn't God's what he wanted for me. He wanted to keep me out of that. You know, it's so much easier. See, I could be going down the road, and God may say, speed up. I'd said speed up because most people think he's going to tell you to slow down. I've seen some people, I think, I wish they'd speed up. You know? Why? Because what is an accident? Two people at the same time at an intersection. 1 second difference, there's not an accident. Correct? So if you're driving and the Spirit of God on the inside says, slow down. Yeah. Why? I don't know. I've been doing it, slow down, and go around the next bend, and there's a radar. Yeah. God is so good. Yeah. You know, yeah. And I know none of you do. I know all of you are very legalistic and obey the law. I'll guarantee you, the law was given to show us that we couldn't obey it. Yeah. That's what it says in the Bible, doesn't it? That wasn't why the law was given, to show that there's no way you could do it. As hard as you try to keep the speed limit, I'll guarantee you, you look down, you'll be over 1 mile. You just broke the law. You can't keep it. And they always change the speed limit at the bottom of the hill. You know, you're coming down a hill, and all of a sudden it goes from 70 to 45, and you're going down a hill. You can't keep it. Okay. I'm not saying you can speed, but I'm just saying, you know, use that as an illustration. But if we listen to God, instead of saying, well, you know, God used that. No, God wants to speak to your spirit so you don't have to go through that. You're not a donkey that he has to whack. Amen. Now, let me just say this. It's not always easy. It's not always going to be easy. You know, it's going to take faith to trust God and follow God. If I had time, I'd do when you teach Bible schools, you just get to go forever. You remember the story of the prophet in 1 Kings 17? He was following God. God sent him to the river. That's easy. Yeah, and there I'll cause the ravens to feed you. I'm not quite sure I want to eat what ravens feed me. Number one, ravens are not givers. I've never seen a raven give up anything. They're takers. So to believe that a raven can feed me, it's going to take faith. To be able to eat what a raven brings me, it's going to take great faith. Because you ever see what ravens eat? Roadkill. But God sustained them because he was following them. Amen? God did the same thing to Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, he goes, leave your country. And he goes, and then I'll show you a land I'm going to give you. Most of us say, God, show me the land, and then I'll go. We're waiting for God to show us where we're going before we're going to leave. He told Abraham, you leave, and then I will show you. That's going to take faith. Going to take faith. When Mary and I left pastoring in 1983, we were praying, and the Spirit of God said, resign your church and prepare to move overseas. Okay. We resigned our church, had no partners, had no mailing list, had no country that we're going to go to, but we called an associate, and he says, I already know you're leaving. He goes, where are you going? I go, I don't know. He hadn't told me. He just told me to resign. We did. Later, he showed us England. One day, he told us to leave England. Why? I don't know. We can look in hindsight, and I can tell all the story of it. But today, we're living where we're at with no mortgage because we follow God. And I'm not a financial person, I'll guarantee you. I live to give. Okay? Following him. It's not always easy. There's two reasons that we don't follow God at times. One is fear. Fear will stop us from following. What if? What if? Fear stops us. Bible says fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you. In fact, one time Jesus, I'm trying to think of the scripture. I might have to thumb down here and see it. But when Jesus was getting ready to go to somebody's house because their daughter was sick or the child was sick, and they came and said, don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. She died. Jesus knew right there if he didn't intervene, they had no hope. He said, fear not. He had to stop the fear before they could receive the miracle. You can't live in fear and faith at the same time. You can't mix the two. It's like salt water and fresh water. You got to choose. I'm going to walk by faith. No matter what, my body may be trembling, but I got to walk by faith. Fear will stop you from following God. What if? What if? The other thing is disobedience. Disobedience. Have you ever said this? Now, again, don't raise your hand, because I know we all have done it one time. God's been dealing with me. What does that say? I'm in rebellion. Because the minute you say God's been dealing with me, that implies you understand what he's saying. Now, it's different to say I'm waiting on God because I'm not quite sure what he's trying to say to me. Because, you know, some things are very elaborate. And so you need to be praying it through. So understand what I'm saying. But once you understand what God says, then all you have to do to get your miracle is do what he says. Isn't that what happened at John chapter 2, when they went to the wedding of Canaan? Jesus' mother said, whatever he says, do it. Jesus said, fill the water pot. They understood what Jesus said. It made no sense, but they did what he said, and they had the miracle. So your miracle is just first hearing from God. Second is doing whatever he tells you to do. We can make it complicated, but that's the simple. What did God tell you to do? Well, God's been speaking to me about that for 6 months. Well, you know, that's why, now please understand, that's sometimes why your financial needs aren't met, because other people aren't listening to God. Well, God told me to give this to you 3 months ago. Thank you, I appreciate it. I receive it now, but 3 months ago would have been really nice. You understand what I'm saying? So it wasn't God that was restraining it. We all have to be sensitive to what God is telling us to do. Now, please understand this. I'm gonna say pastor too, because we're brothers. We were trained in disobedience. And I'll explain it. We were trained in, my dad was a great man. We rejoiced. My mother went to be with the Lord, as you know, recently and all. We rejoiced, not because they were good people, but because they had Jesus as Lord of their lives. You know, I mean, I never saw him. Maybe you have. I never heard my dad swear. Never heard my mother swear. Never saw him drink. You know, my dad smokes a few cigars. My mother didn't, but my dad did. Nowadays, some of the women do. You know, you never know. Yeah. You know, they were good people. They took us to church. I didn't learn a whole lot there because of the church, but they took us to church. They actually taught us to tithe. You know, they were good people. But he also, in his own way, taught us disobedience. They were fair. We'd be watching cartoons, Looney Tunes, you know. Sometimes when people say, you know, you give them your card and they say, give you your name, I say, yeah, Elmer T. Fudd, and they look at you. Who's Elmer T. Fudd? I just dated them. They don't know who he is. They miss all the good cartoons. You know, the one that was after the wabbit, and he never got the wabbit. And he never got it, but now they're taking the shotgun away from him. And he never got the wabbit, you know. Oh, poor Elmer. You know. But we'd be watching Looney Tunes, you know. Wile E. Coyote and all that stuff, you know. He never got the Roadrunner. And Dad would come in and said, okay, when this is over, do your chores, whatever they are. You know, it might be take out the trash, whatever. Yes, okay, no problem. So he's being fair. When this is over, do it. It wasn't saying in the middle of something, okay? He'd come back in, we'll watch the next program. I know none of you ever done that. And he'd go, take out the trash. We said, okay, yeah, we are. He comes back and a little while later, and the tone of his voice is changing. Now, I knew my dad, when his voice got a certain tone, you better move. Because next time, there won't be any voice at all. I'll be a mule, and I'll get the whack. You remember? Isn't that true? Unknown to my father, understand, he was teaching us the best he knew. He was teaching us to be disobedient. Because when God speaks, it should be, yes, Lord. Not in a minute, Lord. See, God says, slow down in a minute. I got an accident. Hello? Child abuse never happens if you discipline your child when they first disobey. Because you don't want to do it. You're going, you know, why don't you just do it, you know? So, you know, there's no abuse then. It's when you get angry, and then you don't need to be disciplined because that's when you're going to get abuse. So you teach them to obey the first time. Not because you want them to be hard, but I want to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. So when God speaks, I say yes. Because God knows where he wants to take me. Okay? So God shouldn't have to deal with us. I know we've all used that term, and maybe we meant it different, but we've all used it. Okay? Oh, got to get going here. I've been off the iPad for so long, it turned itself off. Let me just, in Romans 5:19, I'm going to give you two more scriptures, and I'll try not to lie. You know, preachers lie all the time. We say, I got one more scripture, and then we give four. So I'm going to try not to lie with two more scriptures, okay? And then I'll try to wind it up. Romans 5:19. And again, if we had time, we'd just do a whole message on this, but Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Now, you know what he's talking about, right? Adam was disobedient, and because of disobedience, We became sinners. And what happened once sin came? What was the next thing that came? Fear. God comes to Adam and he says, why are you hiding? I was afraid. See, disobedience brings fear. The word disobedience means this, failing to pay attention. Failing to pay attention, hearing amiss, careless listening. We find that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And Pastor was talking about listening and hearing and all that. I'm thinking, would you not speak my message? Would you just be quiet? Be quiet over there. I don't, you know, you're going to preach what I want to preach. Then they're going to think I got it from you. No, we got it from the Holy Ghost. Yeah. In chapter 2, Hebrews said, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Too many Christians are drifting through life. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. You know, God's got everything under control. Yes and no. The final end, he does. But between there and there, the devil's the god of this world. And if you're just drifting through life, you're putting yourself at his mercy, not God's mercy. And too many Christians are not taking heed to what they've heard, and they're just drifting. You know, I'm just floating through life, you know. Oh, and whatever God wants for me, he'll make it happen. I wish it was that easy. But most of us have learned it's not that easy. See, folks, the day we're living, I have to tune my inward ear, my spiritual ear, and pay attention to what that witness is. You know, follow that unction. Because in that unction is the anointing. Follow that unction. If you go somewhere, you know, sometimes you go and apply for a job and you got two good offers. I don't know which one to take. Follow the unction. Follow that witness on the inside. The Holy Spirit and your spirit bears witness. He's there abiding on the inside to bear witness with your spirit where God wants to lead you. Amen. Closing. Promise you. In the days we're living in, Psalm says it, Isaiah says it, some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. Roger translation says, some are trusting in gold, some are trusting in their strength. I got news for you. I'm going to just trust in the Lord. Mary and I have discussed this. I said, you know, God has to. He'll bring the ravens to me. Yes. Now, I do whatever he tells me to do. Now, please understand this. Learn to listen for yourself. Yes. It's always amazing how everybody's got a word for you, but not for themselves. Yes. I remember this. This is true. My dad would say something for me, and I said, what about Bob? What about Bob? You know, Peter did the same thing to Jesus. He said, Jesus, what about John? I didn't know it was scriptural, but I said, what about Bob? You know what my dad said? You don't worry about Bob. I'll worry about Bob. You worry about Roger. Isn't that right? See, we're always wanting to worry about somebody. No, take care of your own self. Listen for yourself first. You know, the problem we have, people are telling us, do what I say, not what I do. We need to lead by example by doing it. Jesus told Peter his end results, and Peter said, what about John? He goes, don't you worry about John. I'll take care of John, okay? So right now, you know, the word that you want to hear, God, where do you want me? God may tell me to go to the widow woman. He may tell you to go to the river. Don't try to put your convictions where God's on you onto somebody else. Teach them to hear from God from themselves. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you outside the Word of God. You know. Somebody says, do you prepare? Yeah. If I told you honestly, yeah, I'm prepared to a degree. But I'm not, you know, I'm not over the top with it. You know, I got gas for my generator for in case a hurricane comes by. I got food probably I could get by for a couple weeks if I had to. I got meat in the freezer I definitely could get by because I hunt. I fill my freezer every year. I'm like his son, Rob. Rob and I are a good friend just because of that, besides the Lord. Folks, hear what God is saying to you. He will lead you because he knows his thoughts for you. He wants to take you there. He's your shepherd. You're not going to want. Don't let fear come in. When fear knocks at your door, say, uh-uh. My shepherd says, I shall not want. And he hasn't changed. I want you to bow your heads here, and we're gonna close here. We could keep going on, but time, you know, is against us. If you're here today, we've already mentioned making Jesus the Lord of your life. But if you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, when you got born again, you received the Holy Spirit. You got the Spirit of God in you when you got born again. But there's more that he wants you to have. He wants you to have an overflowing of the Holy Spirit. He says he will come and he'll lead you and guide you. He'll empower you so that you can go to Jerusalem, Judea, and the other most parts of the world. I wouldn't want to go there without the Holy Spirit and his fullness. So if you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're watching online, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. You don't have to tarry for it. They tarried because he hadn't been given yet. He's already been given. You just have to trust God and say, God, I'll receive it. Well, what if I don't understand? Trust God. So if you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the day you live in, folks, I'll say like Jesus, don't leave Jerusalem without it. Don't leave, you know, this church without it. I wouldn't want to go out in that world without the Holy Spirit in his fullness. Because he'll lead you and guide you. He'll be your rear reward. He'll watch out you for you. So if you're here and you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to, if you'll raise your hand, I'll pray with you. Jesus will fill you with the Holy Spirit. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. I won't because I can't do it, but he will. Anybody here underneath the sound of our voice that you want the Holy Spirit? I know we're a Holy Ghost church. It's obvious to me. I like it because I can just come here and sing in the Spirit all day long. I don't even know the words of the songs. I don't have to. I do the same thing in Myanmar. I do the same thing in Nigeria, same thing in Kenya. I just sing in the Spirit. Okay, if you're watching online, all you have to do is say, Father, I believe that you have given your Holy Spirit. Jesus is my Lord. I'm asking you now to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand and just start worshiping him and say whatever comes out of your spirit. Don't worry about it if you never understand it. He'll give you a language you never know, and it'll be the beginning of a new walk. Amen? Amen? Well, I'm out of time. I'm not out of things to say, but I'm out of time. But I don't know about you, but you know, when you travel, you sometimes think, I don't know what to do. And then when they got up, you know, I was up since 5:30 and getting ready for this morning, besides the other mornings. And when Pastor, I got up and started speaking, I said, okay, Lord, I'm good. I'm good. Amen? Who am I turning this to? Linda? Yeah. Okay.
You know what side your bread is buttered on?
Uh-huh. Looking at me like, what are you doing? I just want to take this opportunity to honor two king men here. You know, if you got a chance to know my brother-in-law Roger a little bit more, you'll know how very different these two men are. Yet you just saw how much alike they are, preaching the word. And a reminder today in our giving, anything that goes to other will go with our brother, my brother Roger and his ministry, because you know, just as we here receive from this brother the word of God, that word is being preached around many nations and to many people groups because of where Roger goes. So please consider taking your envelope today and another giving a special offering to my brother Roger King. And what a blessing. I hope this is an honor also to Mom and Dad who raised these two men who both decided at a point in their life to follow God, but what different paths they took. How thankful we are for hearing the word of God. I'd like to ask Susie and Don to come up. Apostle Bob doesn't know this, but this is a special morning here. that God said to give special honor here. And so I've asked a couple of people to join me and help make it special. Because in just a few days, one of these King brothers, the older one, the older one, is having a birthday. Oh, he's making a face at me. Uh-oh. And so we want to make sure we honor that. And, you know, we just heard about following the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's never directed me this way, but several weeks ago, he said, I want you to talk to Laura about sending out an email to the congregation. We need to acknowledge this birthday. And I thought, why this birthday? It's not a momentous birthday, 73. The only thing momentous about it is then he gets to be the same age as me. Because I happen to be a few months older. So then we get to be the same age again. But it's not a momentous number. But as we began to move forward, I'm so thankful we have a prophet on staff, and she helped me to understand a little bit more. But we also have a historian on staff. So Mr. Historian's going to help you to understand a little bit about this. Papers.
Yes, I have papers. And I've got to try to move along here because they only gave me 45 minutes. Or wait, maybe that was 4 or 5 minutes. I'm not sure which it was. Stephen put together some pictures. We have bazillions of pictures. Various things. So Stephen put together some photos over here. So you don't have to look at me. You can look at the photos up there. There's all kind of good things. Most of you already know that Detroit Baptist Tabernacle was founded in 1929 in Detroit. Okay, September 20th it was, at 3rd and Warren Streets. I don't know if you know where 3rd and Warren is, by Wayne State University. That's where it, I want to look at some of these. Look at that one there, yeah. Yeah, that 18 years old or something like that. So anyways, on June 29th in 1950, there was this birth in Apostle Bob's family, and there he was on June 29th. So a couple years later, Brother Roger was involved there. So got a lot of things here. On June 5th, 1970, a few years after that, Apostle Bob and Linda were married. So there's a few things. So we're just trying to give you some details here. In 1976, the pastor of Detroit Gospel Tabernacle at the time was Eldon Hubbard. I don't know, some of you know Eldon Hubbard. Remember Eldon, okay? In 1979, on June 3rd, a guy named Bob King delivered his first Sunday message at Detroit Gospel Tabernacle. June 3rd, 1979. September of that year. Yeah, that's one of my faves. There's one of my faves right there. September of that year, September 23rd, 1979, Bob King was ordained and installed as pastor of Detroit Gospel Tabernacle. So it's been a few years. And since that time, a lot of things happened. Pastor traveled to Haiti, and he traveled to Borneo and Malaysia with his brother Robert. That was Roger. That was in 1989. In 1990, Detroit Gospel Tabernacle became Harvest Christian Church. And in 1991, we moved into this building right here, 1991. So it's been a while. So over the years, in the middle years, a lot of different people came to see us, and I'm going to read out some names of some people that came to Harvest Christian Church, because I think it was very it was for us that they were invited to come to build us as a church and as a people, and I just thank Apostle Bob for making all that sort of happen. Some of the first ones were Jim and Judy Stevens, and they were the ones that prophesied apostolic prophetic people of prayer, praise, and power, which we still hear that around today. And Pastor went a lot of places. In 1993, we went to Promise Keepers in Boulder, Colorado. In 94, Chuck Pierce, Jerry Davis. Pastors Bob and Jeff Staples went to South Korea in 1995. There's a lot of stuff going on. We started we had a House of Prayer conference with Chuck Pierce in 1997, and all of this is because our apostle was listening and hearing. All right. Let me give you some other names. Some of you might know these. 1999, Smiley Papenfuss, Sergio Scataglini, Tommy Tenney, Smiley Papenfuss again. 2000, Pastor King went to Myanmar with Brother Roger in 2000. In 2000, also in August 27, Pastors Bob and Linda were ordained as apostles. So that was a big one. That was a big one. 2001 was the beginning of our apostles' travels to Malaysia. August 1st, 2001, they went to Malaysia. Rick Riding, we did healing streams. We bought a building and turned it into a regional house of prayer. Jim and Judy Stevens, Jerry King, Frank Turner from Detroit, might remember him. Jonathan David came here. And in 2004, a team of us went to Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire, Africa. And that was quite an adventure. Yeah. Yes, I'd never had been under military guard before, but we were during that trip, watched very closely by the military. Yes. We started the Third Friday celebrations. We started the School of Prophetic. Jonathan David came and visited us from Malaysia. Harold Eberly, June Ford, Derek Ott, Ellis Smith, Graham Gunning, Robert King, Pete Dresser, Cyrus Gomez, Randy Bixby, Eric Moore, Derek Ott, Kevin McNulty, Philip DuPont, Taylor Cox, Roger King, Mario Kimball, Mike Osminski, Trevor Banks, Mark and Denise Brunner. All those happened in the 2010s, 2015 range. In 2021, we started the Fourth Friday Roar. And then I got a couple of future things. September 23rd, 2024, not as far away as you might think, will be a Pastor Bob and Linda's 45th year in ministry. So that's not that far away. And September 20th of 2029, not that far away, Harvest Christian Church will celebrate 100 years in the city of Detroit. But today, on June 29th, a little bit from today, June 29th, 2003, we are going to celebrate birthday number 73. Happy birthday. Yay. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, and let there be cupcakes.
Okay, so now it's my turn. So I asked the Holy Spirit, why are we doing this? And the Holy Spirit said, because everything is new, that we have stepped into the new, that this might not be your 70th or 75th birthday, but the Lord says this is a significant year because we have crossed over into a new thing. And you have led us there, and I am going to prophesy a word. This is from everybody's heart, and I'm starting with Song of Songs, verses 4 and 5 in the Passion. This is what the Lord is saying. He's saying to you, when I look at you, Bob King, I see your inner strength, so stately and strong. You are as secure as David's fortress. Your virtues and grace cause 1,000 famous soldiers to surrender to your beauty. Your pure faith and love rest over your heart as you nurture those who are yet infants. For the Lord says, son, you have allowed me to teach you, train you, impart into you, and bring you into this place. And even as I have brought you into this place, the Lord says, you have turned around and extended your hand, and you have brought all of these people with you. And the Lord says, I am pleased with you. I am pleased with your heart. I am pleased with your desire and your passion. I am pleased with the choices that you are making. And the Lord says, because you have pleased me, I am going to pour out my pleasure and my favor upon you and upon this house in a new way and in a new level. The Lord says that there are doors that are going to open and promises that are going to be fulfilled that are miraculous fulfillments of things long waited for. But the Lord says, my timing is never late, for my favor has always been upon you. It's not because of making those choices that my favor is on you. My favor is on you because my son is in you, my son. For the Lord says, you are my son, and you are a father to this house, and you represent me well, says the Lord. So I'm just going to pray a quick prayer. I mean, I wish I had time to invite everybody up here, but I'm so glad that they're all standing, because in the Spirit, we surround you. You are surrounded. You are surrounded by the love of the people, and the cooperation, and they are freely giving themselves. And so, Father, we just thank you for this man. We thank you for our father of this house. We thank you, Lord, for where he is bringing us, because he is listening to you. So, Father, we pray increased blessing upon him, increased grace upon him, increased love. Show your face to him in new and deeper ways, Lord, so that he can share it with us and take us where you are taking him. We just thank you, Lord, for this man. Father, we speak blessing upon him. We speak strength to his bones and his body. We thank you, Lord God, for hope is in his heart and anchors him strong in this day and hour. We just say bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you just can't have a birthday celebration without a song, but I think we have a song for you coming here somewhere.
I gotta turn my mic on. I have a song for you. I have a song for you, a song just to say, Pastor, happy birthday. I have a song for you. Come on up. And you know, birthdays are a wonderful time to gather with old friends, so we did bring an old friend of yours to... Oh, Pastor, we hope you have a very happy birthday. From all of us at Harvest, have a very happy birthday. We love you, and that is why we gather now to say, it's a joy to celebrate your birthday here today. Okay, and I sing these verses slowly, so bear with me. When you were just a little guy, the church nursery was the place. You didn't know it at the time, but you'd seen your true love's face. But once you both hit high school, it was evident, I'm told, your love would last a lifetime. Linda's hands you love to hold. Oh, Pastor, we hope you have a very happy birthday. From all of us at Harvest, have a very happy birthday. We love you, and that is why we gather now to say, it's a joy to celebrate your birthday here today. I'm not done yet. If he looks a little nervous, it's because he sees how many verses I have. Three daughters and a son brought years of laughter, joy, and fun. And now with all these grandkids, yes, they keep you on the run. You go to every baseball game, recital, Linda, too. From basketball to ballet, they can always count on you. You've always been athletic, so competitive, it's true. I know because I've been in many water fights with you. You love to meet a challenge to the max, for goodness sake. Like summer church camp when you swam the whole perimeter of Myers Lake. Oh, Pastor, we hope you have a very happy birthday. From all of us at Harvest, have a very happy birthday. We love you, and that is why we gather now to say it's a joy to celebrate your birthday here today. I'm still not done. Okay. You love to walk or run with your dog Regal twice a day. An hour each time outside you commune upon the way to hear what Holy Spirit wants to share or just be still, but always only just because you want to know God's will. You bring the word and teach us because you want us to grow into the stature of the Lord, so all the world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that his Spirit dwells within. He died and then he rose again to take away our sin. And I think it's only appropriate that all of us sing this song to him. I just can't sing that chorus again, okay? Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Amen. 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 The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. We love you! We love you.